climb in and hold on.
We're driving the conversation.
It's the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota.
Joining me by phone right now is Fox News Radio's Jonathan Savage. And Jonathan, what a development since we talked yesterday. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's refusal to make any kind of a deal has some major fallout, doesn't it?
It does. I think what we're seeing now, Jolene, is just how far apart Israel and Hamas are when it comes to some sort of agreement that would see the release, the return of these hostages to Israel. Now, yesterday, there was a storming of a parliamentary committee in Israel from people representing family members of hostages, trying to put pressure on politicians to make a deal. And Benjamin Netanyahu then spoke to some of them later and said, look, there's nothing on the table from Hamas that we could possibly agree to. He had said that Hamas demanded the end of the war, the withdrawal of Israeli forces, and Hamas being allowed to survive as a going concern. And Hamas now, going to the Reuters news agency, a senior official telling Reuters there is no chance the hostages will be returned while Israel's offensive continues. That while Israel's offensive continues, I think those four words are absolutely key, because there are now reports off the back of all this from the news organization Axiom that Israel is proposing a two-month pause in the fighting that would be in exchange for the release of all the remaining hostages. Unconfirmed, uncorroborated, and of course you'd have to see what Hamas has to say about that, but it is interesting.
A two-month pause, that would certainly make a difference, but at this point, what you're hearing is that Hamas is not willing to even take that.
It's hard. It's going to be hard to see if they will or not. If they take it, I think it'll be interesting, because they'd be giving up all their hostages, giving up all their collateral, the bargaining chips, the human shields that they've had since October 7th, in exchange for 2 months. Now, perhaps they could see these 2 months as an opportunity to regroup, to rearm, to allow more aid in for the rest of the Palestinian people. But once those 2 months is up, once Israel goes back into their full-scale war, Hamas may well be in even graver danger than they are right now of being completely eliminated.
You know, Jonathan, those words coming from a Hamas official, none of these hostages will be released, really hits me hard. I can't even begin to imagine the pain and the agony that the families are feeling, and some desperation, obviously, as the clock continues to tick.
That's right. We have seen the families become very, very vocal in their desire for something, anything that could give them hope that their loved ones would return to them safe as well. I mean, we've heard from the Israeli side, they believe 27 hostages have died in the custody of Hamas already. Now, we've seen demonstrations from the families of hostages saying you need to make a deal. We've seen them complain that they don't feel the Israeli government is putting the return of the hostages on the same status as a war aim as ending Hamas. They think that should be the priority. And that's why we saw that protest at the committee in Parliament yesterday. That's why Benjamin Netanyahu felt the need to talk to representatives of their families. And he did tell them there is an initiative on the part of Israel, which could be these reports of the two-month pause in fighting. But neither he nor his spokesman is willing to go into detail either to those hostage families or to journalists.
So many unanswered questions. And for those families to know that about 27 hostages have died in custody, and those families have to be wondering each and every day how their loved ones are doing, if they're still alive. Let's talk for a moment about where things stand with aid getting in.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about a deal between Israel and Hamas, a rare deal, and it allowed medical aid to be delivered to the hostages and medical aid to be delivered to Palestinian people. Accompanying that was an increase in humanitarian aid in general. Now, that's all well and good, people are saying, but actually getting that to the people who need it is incredibly difficult. The World Food Programme today says very little food aid has made it beyond southern Gaza, near where the open border is, the partially open border is, and the pockets of Gaza remains at risk of famine. The UN suggested maybe a quarter of people in Gaza are at risk of famine. So there's a shortage of food, shortage of medicine, and many people are living in tents, in makeshift camps, tarpaulins and structures like that, because about 80%, it's estimated, of people in Gaza have been displaced as a result of this conflict.
They are literally in survival mode, trying to do whatever they can to manage the conflict and the fallout that's happening all around them. I have to ask you, Jonathan, what is the attitude now that you're hearing towards Benjamin Netanyahu?
There is, look, he was never a very popular prime minister to start with. Let's take that as the starting point. There was an election and his party did not win a majority. In order to be prime minister, you need the majority of lawmakers to support you. So he had to put together a coalition. And to put together this coalition, he turned to minority parties, more maybe religious extremist or nationalist extremist, to put him in power. So he's not coming into this job with an enormous mandate anyway. So there's that. And then there is the people who believe that the scale of the war, the intensity of the war, and the effect on Palestinians is sowing seeds of hate, which will put Israelis at risk for generations to come. There are many people in Israel do support the war in general as a way of making Israel safe, but there were thousands of people in the streets of Tel Aviv calling for new elections last weekend, calling for a new government, because they believe that Benjamin Netanyahu's war is one of revenge and not one of securing Israel's safety.
It certainly does seem like there is that emotional component, that it's all about trying to dismantle and wipe Hamas completely out, and that in that process, the tunnel vision has prevented him perhaps from being able to consider what this will mean for generations to come.
We've heard from senior U.S. figures that Israel may score a tactical victory by winning this war, by eliminating Hamas, but they will at the same time secure a strategic defeat, because they will for much of the world is that they're not doing enough to support Palestinians, and that Israel is being seen even more, as many Palestinians see them, as an occupying force that doesn't care for their welfare. Now, the Israeli government says that they are doing all they can to protect the Palestinian people, that there are no limitations on the admission and the admission of humanitarian aid, but figures at the UN deny this and say that Israeli authorities are denying it access to parts of Gaza that they need to get to. So yes, there is a real conflict of opinion, as well as a literal conflict in military terms.
So much happening there, and I know you'll continue keeping an eye on it for us. Fox News Radio's Jonathan Savage, as always, thank you for giving us the inside.
Thank you, Julian.
All righty. Bye-bye. More conversation on the hot topics of the day right after this.